Professor Vincent Racaniello is professor of microbiology in Columbia University and has a 30-year-old experience in virology. He wrote many books in the area and now dedicates his life to teaching, research, and science popularization. So first I would like to thank you for the opportunity. And first question is, what motivated you to create the podcast?
Podcasts, and I heard someone say, if you are passionate about something, you should do a podcast about it. So I was passionate about viruses, and I also had written a textbook, so I thought I had a broad overview of all viruses, so I could do a podcast about all of them. So that's why I started doing it. And of course, I also wanted to teach people about virology in the general world.
What difficulties did you find in the making the podcast and to make it popular?
These days it's really easy to make a podcast. The equipment is easy, it's easy to distribute it. The hardest part was to find someone who would do it with me every week, because I wanted to do a weekly podcast, and I wanted someone who would be dedicated to it and would be as passionate about viruses as I was. So I initially found one person, Dixon Despommier, who began it with me, and then as we brought guests onto the show, I found Rich Condit and Alan Dove, who were just as dedicated and passionate. So that is really the hardest part. The technology is easy. The hard part is finding other people who will do it with you, because I wanted it to be a conversation between people, not just me talking. I wanted several people to talk and have a conversation. I think that's the most interesting way to learn.
In your opinion, what are the advantages and limitations of this kind of media?
So the advantage of a podcast is that it's easy to make and it's really easy to distribute. So Apple started the iTunes Music Store years ago, and they added podcasts to it so that for free, for no money, anyone can download them really easily. So the iTunes Store helps. Also the internet, you can put your podcast on the internet and anyone can get it. So this wasn't possible 10 years ago. You couldn't do it as easily as you can now. You would have to give a podcast on a disc, for example, and distribute it that way. But because the internet makes distribution so easy, that's the main advantage of the podcast. Disadvantages, I would say the main disadvantage is that it's just us talking. There's no video. There's no images. So sometimes people like to see a picture when you're explaining something. Personally, I don't think it's much of a disadvantage, because it makes you work harder to describe something if you don't have a picture to show someone. So I think that's the only negative of this. And of course, it takes time away from doing research on viruses, but I think it's important enough to do, so I continue to do it.
Well, in Brazil, the scientific divulgation is still seen as something secondary. How is it in the United States?
So you mean that teaching is seen as a secondary activity, or?
So actually, it's not giving classes. It's like what is secondary, seen as secondary, is like trying to popularize the science for normal people. Few do this.
So in the U.S., there are many non-scientists who popularize science. There are many science writers, journalists, there are even radio people, television people, who try and explain science to the public. But there are very few scientists doing this. And so in the U.S., it's actually extremely popular to have all of this science information consumed by the public. So Discover TV is an example, Wired Magazine, Science Friday. These are all examples. Even the New York Times has a science section one day a week. But they're not scientists. So I feel that it's really important for scientists to explain their work, to make it popular. And that's very rare in the U.S., there are a few people, but for the most part, most scientists don't want to spend the time, because they really need to put all their time into their work and getting grants and so forth. I think it's important, so I've done it. And I think that as I keep doing it, I can change people's minds about how important it is. So, for example, my university doesn't care that I do this. They want me to do research. But I think if I keep doing it and it becomes more popular and I get invited like places like Brazil to do TWIV, then more people will recognize how important it is.
Yeah, so the situation is more or less in Brazil.
Well, for the last question, which advices would you give to a young scientist that would like to adventure in the field of scientific divulgation?
I would say do it. If you feel like popularizing what you do, if you want to do a podcast, if you want to write a blog, anything helps. Just do it. I know there's at least one graduate student in the U.S. who does a podcast by himself about bacteria and some viruses. It's 5 or 10 minutes a week, and he just talks by himself and tries to educate the public to make it popular. I don't think everyone needs to do it, but if you feel this is something you'd like to do, to learn this kind of new way of communicating, I would just do it. It's very easy. You don't need very much equipment. And it's easy to spread your creation. If you do a blog, it's very easy to have a website. If you record a podcast, you just put it on iTunes and on the internet. So I say if you have some idea, just go ahead and try it. And if you need some advice, you can always ask me. You can send me an email to twiv@twiv.tv, and I'll be happy to help.
Well, thank you for the interview.
This podcast was produced by Luisa Montenegro Mendonça and Fernanda Matias de Miranda as part of the scientific divulgation class from ICB UFRJ. Music composition by Claudio Bernardazzi, Raquel Amaral, Samila Monte, Ana Bonfrauches, and Rafael Arosa.